Come on, shake that person beside you and say, man, you are so blessed. Jesus loves you. Praise God. I'm telling you, man, you're so blessed. You know? Just think about it. The King of Kings loves you. Think about the God who makes worlds loves you. And he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you. Wow. I mean, how much more blessed can you be? I mean, what good does it do to know some big high-powered person on earth, right? And not know the King of Kings? Hello? Well, I want to tear into some word on you tonight, I don't know. I know of only one person so far has told me that they did their homework assignment that I gave you last week and turned theirs in, so they got an A+. So, I've got two. Now, since you're an old teacher, I want to work on you pretty hard. Let me see it. Come on. I want you to have to take the heat like you gave to all those kids all those years. Does anybody have a red pen? let me just work on this a little bit. Now, I ask you to write down things that you knew already in your heart that you could give me a scripture on. You know, that's what I was saying. I was trying to get the point across last week that you are the army of God. The Bible says in Revelation 19, you are coming back with Jesus on a white horse. Okay? But you are the army of God. That day is coming, but right now you are the army of God. Every one of y'all are. And what the devil wants to always try to do in our lives is convince us that we don't have any power. We don't have any authority. We don't have anything to offer anybody else. When the truth of the matter is, we know more than you can ever imagine. You know, I gave you the illustration last week. You know, how many people knew John 3:16, God so loved that you knew God loved you? And if you did you know more than 60% of the world? 60% of the world. Now, there's 7 billion people. Who's got a calculator right quick, because I can't do it in my head. What's 60% of 7 billion? 4.2? So you know more than 4.2 billion people. And you didn't think you knew anything. I mean, that's impressive. You know more than 4.2 billion people. That's staggering. So if you just know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in Jesus would have everlasting life. And you can tell somebody, God loves you, and if you just believe in Jesus, you can have everlasting life. You know more than 4.2 billion people. So, obviously, you're a pretty big combatant if you just knew more than 4.2. I mean, that's staggering when you think about it like that. All right? So you did good, Ann. Yeah, I see. You got a scripture. And what did the Revelation scripture? What do you mean? You've got one, two. I mean, you've got like 15 written down here. Yeah, I see you change pens too, and I don't like that on my homework. I like it all to be in the same one. I mean, you know, look at that. See, it's parts in red, some in blue. It's a black pen, so I can write red on it. But I'm telling you, what I was challenging you about last week was just what she did. She just took it and just jotted, you know, it's just a little bit there. You just jot it down. But that's revelation to you. That's what you know. That's what makes you the army of God. That's what you have to tell somebody. And we go around the world, and listen, Bill, he just told me 2 people this week he witnessed to already that he's told his testimony to about what God did for him, how he delivered him from smoking and all the things that he did for him. And so What I'm saying is that you've got this revelation on the inside of you, but see, the devil wants to convince you that either no one's going to listen to it or it's not important. And what I'm telling you is it is important. And you can't imagine what God will do for you when you just begin to step out and will be used as his army. That's all he's looking for, somebody to just would not be withdrawn, not be apathetic, or not be held back or intimidated by anything in this world. Now, you don't have to go home and get your best bed sheet out and cut your hole in it and make you a long robe, tie you a rope around you and get your big family Bible and a tambourine, stand on the side of the street, because you're not going to attract too much like that. But in your friends, and you're talking to your friends, and the things that you're, well, you will attract some, but I mean, you're not going to attract the right crowd. I'll never forget, there was a man who something was wrong with him. He was passing through town here, and this has been 5 years ago. And he came down, he was at the lumber company, and he went outside and he drew a circle on the ground, and he stood in the middle of it, and he said God told him to be there. And so I just happened to go into the lumber company this morning and notice this guy, a little strange, a little odd, standing there with a circle around him. And so they wanted me to go do something. I said, well, I ain't going to do nothing. Maybe the preacher around here, but if he said God told him to stand in the circle, y'all do something with him. I said, I ain't going to go out there and get him out of the circle. He can just stand there all day. I'm not going to say nothing. So, you know, he drew some attention, and finally they hauled him off. But anyway, it's not the best way to do it. Okay? He was a little touched, but it wasn't by God. But anyway, the thing is, what I'm trying to say is that, folks, the enemy wants to come in there and make you think that you don't have anything. That, Debbie, you don't have anything to say, but you have a lot to say. You have a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom, a lot of weapons on the inside of you that the devil doesn't want you to use them, because when you use them, you're just going to bring victory. And if it's just simply telling somebody that God loves them, look, you find somebody in condemnation, find somebody that's all guilt-ridden, and you just say, look, dude, I know, man, what you did was stupid, you know, and I'd feel bad about it too, but I want you to know Jesus loves you, and he'll forgive you if you just ask him. Folks, that's liberating. That's your weapon being shot into the world, and it's defeating the kingdom of darkness. It's demons screaming and running off because you've spoken to somebody in the name of Jesus. And what's happened is our world has come to a place where we as Christians have, not us per se, but I'm just saying the Christian world has come to this place where we just go to church on Sunday. We go to church, you know, maybe if there's a midweek service and we go to church and we come in and we go, but there's really nothing evident. There's no power. There's no victory. There's no joy. There's no peace. And we really should be defeating the kingdom of darkness. I'm not telling you you're not going to ever have any problems. I'm not going to tell you don't have a problem. Pastor Wynn, you know, how many of y'all believe Wynn's a man of God? How many of y'all believe he's a prophet of God? Huh? Listen to me. I'm 53 years old and I've never blown a tire out on my vehicle. I have trailer tires, you know, things of that nature, but I've never blown a tire out on my car. And he blows a tire out on the church Suburban going to Bandera. I said, dude, will you drive on the wrong side of the road or something? You know, we drive on the right side of the road here in America. Were you on the other side or what was the deal? All I'm saying is you can be the most anointed man of God and you still can run into some problems. It's not about not ever having a problem. It's about defeating whatever the problem is that comes through you. It's the Shadrach and the Meshach being thrown into the midst of the fire, but you walk out and there's no smoke on you. You follow me? And sometimes I don't know why things happen. I don't know what it has anything to do with anything when things happen and go wrong, but you know, so what? If we take that attitude that no matter what happens, it just really doesn't make any difference. Because Jesus is going to be glorified in your life, and you're going to keep standing for him, and you're going to keep telling people about Jesus, and you're going to keep telling him the word that you know within you, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening. And you just take that stance, and you just keep that forward stance moving. I want to tell you something, you're going to find great success in life. But it's when the devil pushes us back and pushes us back and gets us to compromise and compromise and compromise. And then before long, we don't realize it. There was some, we're standing on a very small piece of ground. Okay? There were some saints in, I don't know what it was, 12th century or something like that. They call them the pillar saints. And they would climb up the top of these pillars, and they'd stand on these pillars and stand there for just months and months and months on these pillars praying because they believed they were closer to God and whatever. I don't want to be a pillar saint. I don't want to stand up in just one spot of ground. I want to be able to move and to flow and to help people and to talk to people and to, just do whatever comes. Y'all with me? That's an active church. That's the army of God on the move. You don't have to have a vision. People are too hung up on, I don't know, should I do this or not? Let me tell you something. If it's in the Bible and it's word, do it. You say, I thought I maybe should have prayed for him, but I just didn't know. Because I didn't know if I should. Pray. What's going to happen? At worst, they're going to not be any worse off than they were. And at best, they receive from Jesus and get healed. You see what I'm saying? And they say, they may think I'm crazy. They already think you're crazy anyway if you come to church here. I mean, why? There ain't no sense. You done walked in the doors. You got the sin on you. You're crazy. You're a crazy person. You know? So I told you, we talked all about this last week and about God wanting to activate it. So I told you there were three events that will really, truly activate the army of God. Three events, okay? And so I have one for you, number one. Okay, so go to Mark chapter 1, verse 32. This is something that I feel in my heart. I've been praying about this all week since last Wednesday and just talking to the Lord about it and just finding more scriptures and about changing the culture of this church so that we have every Sunday morning a laying on of hands service for people to be healed, just like you would if you went to a church and had a communion service every Sunday morning. Okay? And that we develop a culture like that so that then when you're anywhere, because you see what has to happen is faith has to get activated and faith has to get going. You know, the first testimonies that came back from Sunday and me laying hands on somebody or Jesus really laying hands on people and they being healed was from children that were healed. And I thought, of course, childlike faith. You just tell a kid that's what's going to happen because they were healed instantly. Well, that's what I'm telling you. It's all the negative religion and all the garbage that we have in our heads, all the doubt and unbelief that's sowed into us by preachers and by other Christians that God's not going to, honor his word. And I don't care if I lay hands on people from now till I leave planet Earth for healing in the authority, in the place Jesus has told me to lay hands on people. And I'm not even looking for what my odds are or what my average is. You see what I'm saying? It's obedience to the word. And eventually you'll change the culture. And this is what the Lord keeps telling me. Eventually the culture will be changed in our church and in our thinking to where when people come in here and they say, what are you doing? Why are y'all sick? Why don't you just go to church and go up to the front, get hands laid on you, they'll be healed. I mean, goodness, why are you going through all that? And that's when faith gets activated and faith gets healed. Why? I'm kind of changing the subject. Bear with me. Have you ever noticed when you read the Gospels and you're looking through there and they brought, and it said that the multitude followed Jesus out into the wilderness or the mountain or wherever, and they brought all the sick from all the towns out to be healed. You don't think that's not an environment of faith? When you're going to go drag somebody, they didn't get in their car and drive. It got all these sick folks carrying them on stretchers and got them up on their back and got them on the little burrito, and drag them out there and say, They didn't think about, we're not going to have anything to eat when we get out there. People would stay with Jesus for 3 days and never eat. How long would that last? I can barely make it till noon. All right? And so what I'm saying is our culture is developed in Living Waters Church, and y'all know this. If you haven't heard this, it's like the churches in town, they turn out at certain times. And the cafe gets mad at me if we turn out early because it they know we're going to be late. And so if we turn out early and get the double crowd up over there, the church, the cafe, well, it just messes them all up in their seating and all. And so they need us to finish on time and just as long as we're late. And I'm just glad we have that culture that Living Waters Church is going to be longer than every other service in town. All right? And it works out good for them. The cafe loves it. And they always tell us that the waitresses love it because we tip better than all the rest. So keep it up. So, but you see, a culture gets developed, a thinking gets developed within the people. Well, this is what people would haul people out all over the place. They wouldn't worry about what they're going to eat, what time, and they wouldn't worry about any inconveniences. They wouldn't worry about anything because their faith was as if they could just get the sick person to Jesus, they'd be healed. Well, when that develops and faith develops in a church, because I'm telling you, folks, my wife and I can't pull the train. And there's just things y'all need to understand, and I talk to y'all like this because you're home, folks. After Sunday service, I had a certain amount of good testimony and a certain amount of bad testimony. There was already the devil before I walked out of the door trying to trip me up and get me to stop. Okay? I'm just telling you, you don't think that, you think it's all just everything's nice. It isn't. I didn't even make it to my chair, Frank. So all I'm saying to you is you don't understand. It is real. Spiritual warfare is real. The enemy does not want us to pray for the sick. The enemy does not want us to walk in victory. The enemy as a church wants us to just be as apathetic as every other church person so that we don't cause any problems. Because when the devil knows he can't get you to give up on your faith, and that you're saved and that you believe in Jesus, well, then the next thing he's going to do is stop you in the ground wherever you are so that you don't take any more, that you just got your little piece and you become a pillar saint. And the moment you start rocking the pillar because you're going to tell somebody else that Jesus loves you, or you're going to tell somebody, you know, you really ought to come to church. See, I want to use CW as an instance. We're just out there viewing his new ride, and a guy pulls up on the motorcycle, and CW just met this person 2 days ago, Monday, just met him Monday, and he comes in here because he noticed his bike there, and he pulls in, and so the guy says, oh yeah, we'll be here at church Sunday. So all I'm saying is what, he's just out riding his bike. But that principle of being the army of God, just being out there and say, oh no, I'll go to Little Moore Church, I'll go up there, you know, like that. Well, then all of a sudden, man, you know, here's this guy going to come to church. And all I'm saying is the devil will push you and he'll keep you to a place and create you to be a pillar saint so that you are just standing on a little piece of ground, and as long as you don't rock that boat, then he'll leave you alone. Because the bottom line is, yeah, you're saved. And yes, you die, you go to heaven. And yes, you'll utter some prayers over your family and you'll see a little few things happen, but you're not affecting anybody else around you, so he'll leave you alone. But the minute you rock that pillar a little bit and you're going to go over and visit so-and-so because you heard they were sick and you're going to go over there and pray for them, or you're going to invite them to church, or you're going to go over there and tell somebody the word of God, all of a sudden the devil's like, whoa, get on your pillar. Whoa, what do you think you're doing? Get back up on your pillar. Who do you think you are to come down the pillar and going to go over to visit somebody else on their pillar? We don't have visiting pillars here. There's no pillar visitation. So this kind of warfare is going on all the time. All right? So, did I tell you where to go? Mark chapter 1, 32. It says, in the evening when the sun had set, they brought unto him all that were sick and those that were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Okay? The very first thing that activates the army of God is need. If everybody was healed, there would be no need for sick folk. There wouldn't be no need to lay hands on people. But need activates the army of God. Are you following me? In other words, Jesus said, I didn't come on this earth to... I'm paraphrasing here. He said, I didn't come on this earth to just sit with the nice people. I came on this earth to be with the crazies. He said, I didn't come on this earth to just sit and have tea with everybody. I came on this earth to be with the sick. Well, why was he talking like that? He was saying that because he said, look, need activates the army of God. Need calls upon, the person's need calls upon your equipment to minister to them. If all your friends are happy and no one's sad and everybody's life is perfect and they just live in a bed of roses and all is great, well, I want to tell you something. Those people, they don't need what's on the inside of you. But if all your friends are whacked out and crazy, all your friends got problems, all your friends got, you know, they're going to kill their husband one night, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Did y'all hear about, this is a horrible thing, but it just struck me as I just like, I can't believe people are so ignorant about the person who killed his girlfriend and then asked Siri on his iPhone, asked Siri how to dispose of a body. And did you know Siri answered? That's even scarier. And said, well, the best possibilities are a swamp, a foundry, a dump, or the forest. So he buried her in the forest. Well, they caught the idiot, and they went through his phone records, and there he was asking Siri how to bury a body. Now, some people are not too bright, but I'm shocked that the phone answered. You better watch, Siri. But in his craziness, he turned to his phone. That's what got me. Because, see, need activates the army of God, but his relationship was with his phone. So he's in trouble. A smartphone. Yeah. So when he was in trouble, he turned to the smartphone. So you see what I'm saying, churches? There was a time that I felt like, wow, as a pastor, it'd be so great if we had this great big church with everybody in it, and you had all these great people, and everything was just great, everything great. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Then what would we be doing? Church should be like an ER room. There needs to be sick people around and people hurting because need activates the anointing of God or activates the army of God to come into service. So the minute, listen, the minute, this is point number one. The minute you become aware that you're in a situation where there's a need, then you should turn on and say, oh, wait a minute, army of God's supposed to go to work. So maybe the next time, instead of when the phone rings and you say, oh, my God, I can't believe they called again, you should say, oh, need, okay, just minister the word. Speak the word. What word? The word that you got in you. Oh, wait, you don't have any word? Well, then you've got nothing to shoot. You see, you got to have word. Because the only thing that's going to work is the word. Not your words, not your wisdom. Years ago, I came to an understanding that I was not successful as a pastor to counsel people in marriage problems and tell them just wisdom. I'm not smart enough, you know, to get into psychology. Well, you know, maybe this and this and this and why you did it. No, no. I just finally got to where people had said, look, I just want to tell you the word. Let me just what the word of God says. This is what it says. I advise you to do it. And you know what? My counseling days just went, whew. It ended it. Nobody wanted to come talk to me anymore because they knew what I was going to tell them, what the word of God said. Wasn't going to sympathize with anybody. Wasn't going to do it. So here's what the word says. What are we going to do? Well, nobody wants to talk to me anymore. Need activates the anointing. You got to understand that. Get aware that every time there's need, boom, that means you're supposed to be going to work. Man, you're looking like, okay, wow, this is good. What are we going to do, Lord? What are we going to do? But you got to have word. That's why I got Praying the Word books back there free. Go find one. Got all the scriptures in there, lined up in there for whatever the situation is. Whip that puppy out. Say, well, hear me, hold on a second. Let me look in here. Okay, this is a good word for you right here. There's nothing wrong with that. Look, let me just tell y'all this. I'm trying to think of the gracefulest way to say this. Don't try to be the ninja warrior with the word. Don't try to be the guy in the black coat with all the guns and the, you know, like you're just like, you know, like you're super. No, it's better to just be you. Okay? And don't try to impress anybody with all of the great knowledge of the word that you have, because Jesus is a man that I can't tell you that. That's going to get me my next point. Okay. But Jesus is a man that was wise. That's not the next point. But Jesus is a man that was wise. And if you know, see, he wasn't. Man, Jesus would chop the Pharisees to pieces. But the rest of the people, he's sitting in Simon's house, the leper, and he's sitting with all the guys at the bar. I mean, he was one of the guys. Okay? That's what the world's looking for, is real. So when you see need, just take what you have in you and put it in them. All right? So number two, the second thing that activates the army of God and gets things stirring and gets all the juices going is faith. It's pretty simple here, but it's faith. All right? If you're around a bunch of doubters and unbelievers, all right, then you might as well not fight with it. Sow some word and leave. I mean, I had a person one time say, well, I don't really believe God heals. I said, okay, well, then stay sick. I said, you know, just do your best you can with the doctors. Well, the doctor says they can't do anything. I said, well, I guess there ain't nothing left for you to die, so just quit complaining. Man, they got mad at me. Didn't like to hear that at all. But if there's no faith, then what am I supposed to do? Y'all with me? In Mark chapter 2, I love this story. Verse 1. It says, again, he entered into Capernaum some days, and as it was heard, he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed in which the paralytic was lying. Now, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your son. He said, sons, there's no sons, there's only a son there. Son, your sins are forgiven you. Okay? Now, he said he saw their faith. Well, you know, it wasn't like it was glowing up there and like they had a red glow about them. He saw their faith because these crazy idiots are tearing the roof off. They're tearing the roof off, lowering this guy down on a bed. That is pretty dramatic. And you know, it's like they're all talking between them, man, we just get him down there. Let's get old George down there, man, get him down there. And boy, I tell you what, we'll get it. You know, he'll get healed. Let's just tear off the roof and we'll lower him right down in front of Jesus. So here's Jesus. I mean, while he wasn't a pulpit, but let's just say there was. He's standing right here at the pulpit talking to the people, and all of a sudden they're tearing the roof off right there. Going to get old George up there front and center. And Jesus just backs up and says, you know, let's watch this. Says he's, and he's just, I'm painting here. He's, you know, he's just thinking, now these guys are radical believers. These guys are full of faith. Look at this, man, bringing this guy down. Now they're going to think they're really going to lower him down? Now, if it's on the roof and most of those buildings were two stories, so they're going to be like 16 foot, they're letting this guy dangle in the air, going to drop him down through. Now, just think about that. I wouldn't trust you guys. I wouldn't trust four of y'all on a rope and me laying on a bed to think y'all aren't going to get me all tipped over to one side and, you know, swinging. I'm swinging around here on this thing, spinning, ropes getting all twisted up. I mean, I think people get it in their heads sometimes. It's like this, you know, holy. They're tearing the roof off. There's no easy way to tear off a roof. When you tear off a roof, stuff falls down. And in the Middle East, there was all tile roofs. They're tearing off these tile roofs. Things are breaking, falling. Now, what about the guy that owned the house? Would he not be sitting there saying, oh, golly, they're tearing off my roof. And he doesn't want to look bad. What are you doing, you idiots? Quit tearing off my roof. So he's got to act holy, you know, like he couldn't scream at him. But he got to know he's thinking, oh, I'll have to repair that tomorrow. You can see faith in people. You can see faith in people. When somebody's really hungry and they've got faith strewn on their tongue, you can see it. Just look. Listen to what they're saying. Just listen to what they're saying. The minute you detect faith, then the army of God comes into play. The minute you come, you hear faith speaking out of their mouth. Oh, I just wish Jesus would do something. Whoa, whoa. No, we're getting somewhere. We're starting. We're getting in the what? I was talking to the person, here a while back in of all places in my gun shop, and we're sitting there talking guns and everything, and then all of a sudden the conversation changes, and the next thing you know, this guy's talking to me about God, and I'm just listening, and he gets all the way around. It just was the Holy Ghost, and well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. You know, and he's telling me also. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't say anything. I'm just sitting there playing with the guns. All I'm saying is I was listening to what that guy was saying, and so he was hungry, and there was faith. And then that gave me the door open to speak some things in and to say some things. He says, that's what you got to look for. You got to look for those opportunities. Because God's calling on you as the army of God to do something. Okay, so the first thing you're going to look at is need. Second thing you're going to look at to see if there's faith. And now here's the third one. Go to Mark chapter 1. It says, now a leper came to him, Mark 1:40. It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, look at here, moved with compassion. Compassion. The third thing that activates the army of God is compassion. When you have a heart for something, you have a compassion for a certain area, certain individuals, you know, certain things in life. You have a compassion for that, then God's going to move in you in that area. Or he's going to move through you in that area. Because if you don't have any compassion for that situation, then I want to tell you something. It's not going to work. God's not going to work through you. Because you don't have any compassion. Compassion is the oil that keeps the machine going. Compassion's the slickum that makes it. Is when you have compassion in your heart for that. Listen, there's a lot of good works going on in the world, right? But I can tell you, I don't have compassion for everyone. I can tell you that in my world travels, I have more compassion for Spanish-speaking nations than I do for Africa. Does it mean I don't love Africans? Does it mean I want to? No, but it's just not, that's not my calling. That's not where my heart throbs for. If they speak Spanish, I got compassion. Well, why? I was raised that way. It's natural to me. I understand the culture. I understand what they're going through. I've been in those places. I've lived with people in Mexico, and I've been there in those situations. I know how tough it is. And I have compassion in that area. But you may not have the same compassion. Well, that's okay. But the area that you have compassion for is where you're called upon as the army of God to move. And you've got to understand that and figure it out. You're not wrong for not having the compassion for everything. Now, I like ice cream. I've had to just quit eating it, but I love it. Okay? I love ice cream, but I don't like all ice cream. Y'all with me? Are y'all the same, or y'all see any ice cream come run across your path? I don't like mint ice cream. Should not have ever been invented. I don't like Neapolitan. They should never have mixed the three. Y'all with me? I got some amens here? No, y'all are shaking your head. You like it? Huh? Any of it? You like licorice ice cream? Okay, I just want to throw that. I won't find something you didn't like in the ice cream family. But the point is that you don't have to have compassion for everything. You may have compassion for married couples who are going through hard times, or you may have compassion for children, or you may have compassion for teenagers that are going through this, or you may have compassion for just orphans, or you may have compassion for this or that compassion. It's okay. You just got to find your compassion. Because where your compassion is, that's where you're going to see God moving. All right? Now, what's funny about it is I looked up the Greek word for compassion. It's a real long word. It's real hard to say, so I'm not even going to attempt it. But it means bowels of yearning. So it's not just, oh, I'm sorry. It's something down here on the inside of you. The bowels of yearning on the inside of you, they're like, oh, it grieves you. Like, the first time I ever started working with orphans, honestly, I didn't even like children. I'll admit it. You know, I love my kids, but I'm just saying, they're your kids. You take care of them, you know? But the first time I started dealing with orphans and I went to the orphanage and I was with Ivan and we started seeing what was going on, man, something ripped on the inside of me. I mean, I have to watch myself. I can get totally and completely grieved. I don't even let Ivan tell me all the stories. I don't let anyone want to know what the kids went through. Because my head goes crazy and I just want to shoot somebody. That's the first time I really felt bowels of yearning to help. That someone had to stand up and say, enough's enough. Get that kid over here. We're taking care of him. That's what I'm talking about down here. When he says Jesus had compassion, the word is bowels of yearning. It means to yearn intensely and persistently. Intensely or persistently. Y'all with me? So find out what that is. Because this is what's going to stir the army of God. Need, faith, and compassion. Need, faith, and compassion. And once you find that thing that really stirs on the inside of you, then start saying, okay, God, now what do you want me to do? How are we going to direct this, or what are we going to do here? And then it's just up to the Holy Ghost. Because you are the army of God, and I'm telling you, you know more than 4.2 billion. Now, let me read one more scripture to you before we close. Mark chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and he ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, because there was like sheep not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things." Now, there's another whole message contained within this, because when you find what you have compassion for and you start to move with that, then there's degrees and elements, and we'll get into that next week, of, well, are you a systematic kind of teacher, or are you an encourager, or are you a word sower, or how's the method that God's going to use you to speak to that person? Y'all with me? Because you can't be something that you're not. You're either gifted in it or you're not. I've known some men in my life who you didn't want to get them in a, you didn't want to be in a word debate with them because you knew that they didn't really know that much. But if you were standing in the midst of a problem, you wanted them by your side. That was their great, great gift of strength and faith to stand there with you and say, everything's going to be okay. Y'all with me? If that's your gift, then use it. If your gift is just to call somebody and say, hey, buddy, I'm standing with you. Everything's going to be okay. Got your back covered. And that person feels strength from that and whatever, great. Don't worry about it. The teacher will come along the road. I learned a long time ago, you cannot be all things to all people. Only one that can do that is Jesus. You just have to be good at what he's called you to do. Maybe your job, maybe your compassion for somebody is never to say anything, but to just go do something nice for them. Hello? All right, so need, faith, compassion, you got to look for this week. And if you forgot your assignment, shame on you. Start over this week. Go write down any revelation that's real to you, that you know from the Word is true. Write it down so you know what your strengths are. Doesn't take much. Don't have to write the whole scripture out. Just write it down so you know. You ought to know it. And then you watch. You just set yourself in that. You just set yourself up and then watch for the need. Watch for the person that has faith. Watch for the person where you have compassion for. And then watch God move. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'll be checking notes again next week. Find who's doing their homework. Well, help me here tonight. If y'all need an offering envelope, lift up your hand and we'll get you one. Is this the third Sunday? Is this Dinner on the Grounds this Sunday? All right. Baby dedication. We're dedicating a baby. So if you just find any babies laying around, got compassion for them, just bring them on into church and we'll dedicate them. Well, put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you for the gift of giving. I thank you, Lord, that we want to be blessers in life. And I just ask you tonight, Lord, to just bless businesses. I just declare businesses to increase, finances to increase. And Lord, that we just continue can be a great givers in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. So praise God. Dinner on the grounds. Some of y'all are anointed just to cook. So stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, boy, I got a big recipe coming up for dinner on the ground. Grab that person's hand. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that we're going out in the world now. We're going to find where there's need. We're going to find where there's faith. We're going to find where there's compassion, Lord God, and we're going to move and we're going to flow. And I thank you as the army of God, Lord, we're going to do our part. Jesus, use us, flow through us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.